This episode of Right at the Fork is brought to you by Zupan's Markets,
where right now you can save money on Carlton Farms baby back ribs, Double R Ranch prime New York steaks, house-made Wagyu burgers, organic baby bok choy, and much, much more. Another thing to have on your radar is that coming up May 10th, Lobster Roll Fridays return to your local Zupan's. That's going to happen every Friday throughout the summer. Nothing more than delicious than a great lobster roll on a Friday afternoon. Can't beat that. Also, be aware of this. If you're not already, Mother's Day is just around the corner, and the floral department at your local Zupan's cannot be beat. So they've got a great Mother's Day floral collection. You can even head to the website right now and start ordering that so that you're ahead of the game.
And you can find Zupan's at West Burnside, McAdam, and a great store in Lake Oswego, in addition to Zupan's.com.
All right, here it is. Time once again. It's Portland's Food Scene Podcast, Right at the Fork, with your host, Chris Angeles from Portland Food Adventures. I'm co-host Court Johnson, and your only host on this episode, because Chris Angeles currently making his way through Europe right now, part of his international tours with Portland Food Adventures. On this episode, with all the news in Portland and Vancouver of In-N-Out finally making its move into the market, I felt it important to talk about it with the person in my life that loves In-N-Out the most. So if you're familiar with my background, I come from radio, I work in radio, and a big guy in the Portland radio world is a guy by the name of Danny Dwyer. He's been on the radio in Portland for over two decades, 26 years, I think is what he tells us in this podcast. But he's a born and raised in California, but has been part of the Pacific Northwest for almost 30 years now. And this is where he is choosing to call home, but he loves his In-N-Out. That's one of my biggest takeaways. There's a lot of takeaways for Danny, but one of the biggest for me is that he loves In-N-Out. And so when I heard that Ridgefield and then Vancouver had In-N-Out coming their way, I instantly thought of Danny. And then, of course, there's the ever-changing story of what might happen out on Beaverton Hillsdale Road with a possible In-N-Out location there. So I felt it very important to talk to one of the experts I know in my life about In-N-Out and talk to Danny Dwyer. So again, he's on the radio in Portland, 98.7 on your radio dial, 98.7 The Bull. And again, he's kind of been a fixture in country music in Portland for going on three decades. So I love Danny. You're going to love talking with him. We're going to talk about In-N-Out, why In-N-Out is important to him. We also talk about some of his secret locations where he likes to eat over on the other side of the river in Vancouver, because that's the part of town he lives in. So enjoy this episode with Radio's Danny Dwyer as we talk about In-N-Out and other stuff here on the podcast.
Right at the Fork is brought to you by Capitola Coffee, where you'll find an exceptional and relaxing community space to work or have a meeting or enjoy a quiet oasis in their peaceful courtyard. Go online and order exceptional freshly roasted beans via subscription or by the bag. Capitola Coffee on Mississippi Avenue, across from Prost and the Food Cart Pod, or online at capitolacoffee.com. Acre Forge. Is your low-quality knife robbing you of your passion for cooking? Acre Forge makes cooking easy by crafting unique handmade knives that balance stunning looks and performance. They'll look beautiful in your kitchen, and you'll love how they cut differently. Acre Forge blades are razor sharp and will ignite your passion for cooking. Head to acreforge.co and use promo code CUT25, that's CUT25, for $25 off your first order. Acreforge.co. Portland Food Adventures. Experience the best food and wine in Europe with Right at the Fork host Chris Angeles's Portland Food Adventures. Eat and sip your way through historic and delicious southern Spain with the wonderful folks from Urdaneta, or magical Sardinia with PFA's own Austri Enzyme. These 9-day culinary itineraries are viewable at portlandfoodadventures.com, or contact host Chris Angeles to find out more and book a vacation you'll never forget. Portland Food Adventures Zoopanders.com. Zupans Markets. Unsurpassed quality from the best meats and wines to local baked goods, fresh flowers, and an extensive craft beer selection. Step into Zupans and be inspired for your next meal. Food-loving customers and local chefs know that Zupans is the place to find the very best Northwest bounty in Portland, West Burnside, McAdam, and Lake Oswego. Local and family-owned for over 45 years. Zupans Markets. And by Ringside Steakhouse. For over 80 years, Ringside has been providing the best in steaks and has been the home for the beacon of great hospitality in Portland. Make a reservation today at ringsidesteakhouse.com. And while you're there, sign up for their mailing list to be the first to find out about the exciting specials and events going on at Portland's beloved Hallmark restaurant, Ringside Steakhouse.
You're one of my favorite people in all the world.
Oh, thank you, my friend. You as well.
You've probably been told this before, but you have a positivity about yourself that's infectious. Like you're just always a happy guy.
I try to be
most of the time, and I have experienced an unhappy Danny.
Yes, that's all work related. Seems to be.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's life. It always is that way. Typically, you know, your family is your happy spot. So, and when your job can provide the happiness, it's even better. But, yeah, no, you were one of the first people I met when I moved to Portland years and years ago, and then eventually got to actually work alongside you. But there's a lot about you that I don't know. So I may ask some questions today, just kind of going deep into the Danny Dwyer mythology here.
Okay, good. Let's do it.
But the ultimate reason, and we'll talk about this a little bit here and there. The biggest reason I wanted to have you on for this episode of this podcast is because everybody in the Portland metro area is a buzzing about In-N-Out. And yes. When I heard that Vancouver was getting an In-N-Out, or I guess initially it was Ridgefield was getting an In-N-Out, the first person I thought of was you, because you no longer had to drive down to Salem Kaiser to get your In-N-Out.
I was so infatuated with In-N-Out, I would drive to Medford, Oregon to go get a burger. Then when Salem and Kaiser came along, I was super excited. But now you have no idea how excited I am that it's coming 2 miles from my house.
See, and I think there's probably a lot of people that and I have to admit, Danny, I was one of these people where I'm like, you would do that for In-N-Out. But I think it's important to note that you grew up in Southern California.
Correct. Yep.
So In-N-Out is like part of your DNA.
Yeah, it's like Burgerville for the Pacific Northwest. Anybody that grew up here knows Burgerville. So it's the same for them as it is for me for Southern California. I literally, as a kid growing up in Reseda, California, a block away on Tampa Avenue was my In-N-Out Burger. So I used to ride my skateboard down there and get a milkshake with my best friend. And then, you know, growing up through life, getting home late at night, I would eat In-N-Out Burger, and then got into radio, driving long distances. My first stop was In-N-Out Burger. It's like just a normal place. It was great.
Was In-N-Out then, though, the way it is now, where like even still, the In-N-Out that most people in Portland are familiar with, which is the one down in Salem Kaiser, there is a line stacking up at like 10 in the morning. They're not even open yet. That line stacking up. Was In-N-Out that way, though, even for you as a kid?
No, because there were so many that were around the area. I mean, throughout Southern California, anything from Anaheim to Baldwin Park to San Diego, and, you know, all the way up the coastline. And now they've expanded, which is awesome, because you being a former Utah person, you know, they're now in the Utah, they're now in Texas, and now they're moving towards Nashville and Tennessee. And people in Tennessee are excited because, you know, a lot of people that travel from Tennessee in the record business go to Las Vegas, where there's 5 In-N-Out Burger shops. So they're excited there too. So it's cool.
Yeah. When I was in high school, the closest In-N-Out to us was Las Vegas. And so you were considered cool if you walked around the high school with an In-N-Out Las Vegas t-shirt. And I remember I had friends pick them up for me, even though I had never gone to the In-N-Out in Las Vegas. I had the t-shirt just
to kind of pretend like I was that cool.
Yeah. But back on this whole thing though, Danny, I have noticed since I've been down here in San Francisco. So in San Francisco proper,
there is only one In-N-Out, and it's down on Fisherman's Wharf.
Okay.
And it's really? Packed all the time.
I didn't know there was one there.
Yeah, it's just off of I think it's on Beach Street.
Okay.
So it's just off of the Fisherman's Wharf area. Yeah. It's not a drive-through. You have to go inside. And okay. There's typically a pretty hefty line. You make your order, and you're not getting that burger for another half hour at least.
Yeah.
But outside of that, you have to go into the surrounding, you know, cities in order to get a traditional drive-through type In-N-Out. Right. And what I have experienced so far is when I've gone to a couple of those, there's a line. It's not like Salem Kaiser level line.
No.
There's still a pretty hefty line, and the lines inside are pretty long as well. So, I mean, people love their In-N-Out.
They do. You know, this is funny you say that, because my wife and I were flying home from Nashville one time, and when we had like a 3.5 hour layover in Oakland. So I was like, let's go get In-N-Out. She's like, what? I'm like, let's go get In-N-Out. We had TSA pre-approved. So we literally left our bags at the airport, jumped in a taxi, drove to the closest In-N-Out, which was about 1.5 miles away from the Oakland airport. And then we ended up grabbing a burger and driving right back to the airport, went through the TSA pre-approved line and got on our plane and came home.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much the love runs deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a good thing that there was no long line there, because there is a few In-N-Outs. I mean, it's funny though. It's just a part of our tradition. Even our family now, like my kids have grown up like loving In-N-Out. They'll drive to Salem. Just my daughter the other night is like, we're going to Salem to get a burger. I'm like, okay, see you later.
Yeah. And you know exactly where they're going and why they're going, and that's exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
I've known times where I know you have been down in, you know, south of Portland, where you've intentionally got picked up those burgers and they pack them to go so that they're not all, you know, they know you've got a little bit of a trip afterwards, so that they don't pack the lettuce and tomato on top of the hot burger.
Nope. Yep. Yeah. In fact, we would come through if we knew we were going to Kaiser for the day to go do a radio station event. On the way home, I would stop and pick up 12 burgers with no lettuce, no tomatoes, but extra packets of their sauce.
Yeah.
Put the lettuce, onions, and tomatoes on the side, and we'll put them on. And then you put them in the air fryer, and they work out perfectly. They're great.
All right. That's one of the biggest challenges, I think, of fast food that's supposed to be – I mean, for me, if you don't eat an In-N-Out French fry right when it comes out, you're kind of asking for it, right?
Yeah, you can't really warm those up, so it is one of those mandatory things. You got to have it right then and there. Yeah, for sure.
But again, this goes back to your childhood, where you grew up and what you experienced. When you bite into a double-double today, is it the same as when you were biting into one as a kid? Like, everything's the same.
Absolutely. Still the same taste. It just takes me back to my childhood. You know, what do they call that when you go back and you have a split second?
This nostalgia, but I'm not sure if that's the word you're looking for. But
well, there's flashback. That, but a flashback or a deja vu moment, like I've been here before, like in the same position. So it was one of those. It was great. So it's the same for me every time I have it. No changes.
So I had mentioned this kind of at the beginning. We'd heard the rumors, and then suddenly it kind of came out. Maybe you were on top of this just because of the fan that you are, Danny. But the word that they're coming into Ridgefield, right there by the Alani casino, that's kind of the area that's planning on to move into. And then in short form, we started hearing about maybe an East Vancouver location.
Yep.
And then we've been, for the past couple of years or so, we've been hearing rumors about one out on the Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway area.
Yep.
That apparently had gotten shut down because of some zoning issues, but now that's back on the table. So suddenly we're going from zero to possibly three within the next year.
Yes, that's true. 100%. Yeah, the one in Ridgefield is, as far as traffic's going to go, it's going to be crazy because Ridgefield is growing so quick. They're building a new Costco. It's going to be next to the Costco.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then the one that they're actually putting next to my house, 2 miles away, is right on Mill Plain Boulevard, one of the craziest streets in Vancouver. So it's going to be a little bit of a traffic delay. But I think once people get their original feel for it, I don't think we'll necessarily have the long lines like Kaiser has, you know, in 6 months. It's like a new restaurant that comes to town. It's going to take a while to get there. Everybody wants to check it out once they've made their opinion or have said, okay, great, whatever. Then they'll either come back or they won't. And obviously in Kaiser, people love it. They keep going back.
That's just it. It's like the Kaiser thing blows my mind because that I'm sure it's not to the level it was in the first year, but it's still I've been driving past that place again. I mentioned this at like 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and there's people already in line.
So you'll love this. I'm a part of the Salem Kaiser In-N-Out Burger fan club. Okay. And they're
are you the president? That's the question.
No, I should be the vice president. But the funny thing is that you can go on Facebook in this group and there'll be updates. Like there's a 10-minute line, get here quick. There's a 30-minute line to get in. And I've had people text me and say, we're coming from Canada. What's the best time do you think to get here? So people are driving down from Vancouver, Canada in Seattle to go to Kaiser to get a burger because they want to try it.
So I think that's probably a part of why Kaiser has been what it is. It's kind of – it's the lone wolf out here you know, in northern Pacific Northwest. It's pretty much as far as you can go north until you run out of In-N-Outs, correct?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
But now I heard last week that there's possibilities that they're going to venture up into Seattle. Mm-hmm. So there could be a thing. Their biggest thing is that they have to have a warehouse plant where they can have fresh vegetables, fresh tomatoes, fresh lettuce, like not even – it can't be like 2 weeks old. It can only be like 3 days old or 4 days old because they buy all their product from local businesses. Mm-hmm. So they're supporting local business, which is awesome. And that's why they now got the warehouse. I think it's going to be built just outside of Salem. So that's why we can get the food from, you know, that fresh new warehouse into Beaverton, Ridgefield, and Vancouver.
So aside from, like, obviously you being super happy about this, what do you think the impact of In-N-Out moving into the Portland Metro is going to be? Is it going to cause... Is it going to cause other places to go out of business, or is this just more for more?
No, I think there's room for more. It's going to be a love-hate relationship. One of our fellow former coworkers that you used to work with and that I still currently work with does not approve of In-N-Out Burger. He's like, it's just okay. And he's been raised here, so he's a Burgerville guy. So he's like, it's just a burger. It's okay. So it's going to be one of those love-hate relationships. And I see that, you know, coming into our market in Portland, there's always new people coming in all the time. And there's a lot of people from California that are moving here. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to continue to support it and know that it's here and they'll be happy about it. But there are people that don't want to deal with the traffic and all that other stuff. Yeah, they're going to have problems. They're going to fight it all the way they can. For sure.
I mentioned this. My attitude towards In-N-Out has changed a little bit because I'm not a fan of waiting in line for almost anything, even if I love it. I don't like waiting in line.
Sure.
And so, but the biggest change for me has been realizing if you look at the price of an In-N-Out burger, like a double-double compared to what you might get if you go to a Five Guys
or Killer Burger.
Or even let's throw Burgerville in there.
Sure.
In-N-Out, they have kept their prices relatively low. Even here in San Francisco, I can walk in and get the double-double combo for $13.
Yeah,
which is crazy for San Francisco.
Right, and just the like at Five Guys, just a double-double burger is like $12, and then you got to buy fries separately, and then you're Coke.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. That they've managed to keep it on the download. They're like Costco. You know, those hot dogs are never going to be more than $1.50 with a Coke, which is awesome.
That was also one of my San Francisco tests when I got down here. I was like, I'm going to go see if the hot dogs here are even $1.50. And sure enough, they are.
They are. So, yeah. It's a nationwide thing for Costco. And he says, the president even said, I think it was last week. He's like, that's the one thing that Costco will definitely not raise their prices on. They'll take a loss because so many people enjoy that knowing it's only above 50. They don't want to mess it up.
It's the loss leaders, I know the In-N-Out stuff. Like when I started making that connection, and granted, I always like a value. My appreciation has shifted a little bit, and maybe it is me being down here in California. I'm getting a little bit of California in me that you know a double double just kind of hits just right sometimes.
It does, especially late at night, like on a Friday night. You're coming home from the clubs. That's what that was our nonstop. We were always there,
right?
And it works out well now. If you're close enough to the station where you're at and you can work and like, I'm just going to run down the street and get a burger. Heck yeah, man. Do it. Save yourself the money. It's great.
It's still a little far away from me. I need to get one closer to me from where I'm at right now.
But like for everybody. Door?
Yeah. Like next door would be ideal. but for everybody again, in Portland, they're going to have this, these three locations theoretically in the next. The Ridgefield one is, from what I understand, is the only one that's official from In-N-Out.
Correct, so far, and the plans, and the city has said yes to it, so that's good. Yeah. Now it won't be here till 2025, because I think they're building a brand new building, as where the one in Vancouver, there's already building there. So okay. They've got the parking lot there, they've got the building, they're just going to go in, do the changes they need to do, drywall, paint, tile, so on and so forth, get the kitchen set up, and it'll be good to go.
All right, so that one may be a lot quicker.
Yeah,
and then who knows on this Beaverton one, because I'm still confused. I had heard that one of the reasons why it was not passed earlier was that they didn't allow drive-throughs in that part of Beaverton, yet there's a Chick-fil-A, from what I understand, literally next door to where they want to go.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it.
There's a misunderstanding there, because I know there's a Carl's Jr., there's a Jack in the Box. It's sad that I know all the fast food restaurants where they're at. Hey,
when you work in radio, that's the way you live. You've got to live that way.
It's my landmarks. Oh, yeah, the Carl's Jr. right off of Canyon Road. I know exactly where it's at. Yep. But they all have drive-thrus, so that makes no sense. That somebody's telling a little white lie about that one for sure.
Or something. And again, we haven't officially, this isn't coming from In-N-Out themselves, but
correct.
Yeah. All right, so Danny, I've got a couple more questions I want to talk to you about, so we're going to pause briefly to hear from Ringside Steakhouse, and then we're going to come back and wrap up our conversation.
Sounds great.
Pausing just a moment here, Chris, to talk about one of our favorite places to eat in Portland, an institution. It's Ringside Steakhouse.
I don't know if they've hit 80 years yet or...
Oh, they have.
Coming up on it, yes.
Over 80 years.
Right, over 80 years. You tell me, what else is there? We won't even mention another restaurant. It's Ringside's time, but nobody does service like Ringside. And, when you're around for 80 years, you have gone through all the trends over the years, and you've gone through a burgeoning food scene where there's every shiny new thing going on, and you're still... one of the favorite places to go in Portland, Ringside on West Burnside. They've got a lot of cool things going on. Of course, their famous onion rings and the best steaks you can possibly imagine. But also, I understand they have some great non-alcoholic beverages available in the bar or in the restaurant. I don't know if anybody's ever met Jimmy there, but he's been in the bar for years, and he'll make you a fantastic non-alcoholic beverage. You can order three dots and a wink, or maybe even a Sacred Emily. And you can go to the website, ringsidesteakhouse.com, to check out what that's all about.
Also, don't forget, every single Monday night, it's Prime Rib Monday, a three-course dinner where you get mixed greens to start. You get your prime rib that comes along with horseradish and Yorkshire pudding. And then, of course, you top all of that off with the creme brulee. Can't be beat every Monday night.
That's a good deal. And a good deal also is to get some Ringside merchandise. That is pretty cool. You can have, they give hats, t-shirts, and what I think every home cook should have is every home person who loves to grill.
Yeah.
A Ringside apron. It looks really cool. Go to the website and check that out.
I'm actually imagining myself this summer out on the back deck with my Ringside Steakhouse apron on while grilling up my own steaks.
Right. And everybody's going to think you're an expert on the grill right off the bat.
Right.
So you got to prove yourself.
Yep. You can make reservations for your next visit to Ringside Steakhouse on their website, which is ringsidesteakhouse.com, or you can use the Open Table app. All right. We're back with Danny. One of the things I didn't really get into, Danny, and that I wanted to, and this is something that I kind of know your history, but because I'm a guy and I'm not very inquisitive, I basically learn from people just as they tell stories.
Okay.
So like I've worked with Danny for 10, 12, almost 15 years. I know you were from Southern California. I know a lot about you, but I also don't know what brought you to the Pacific Northwest, because you've been on the radio here in Portland for how many
26 years.
You've been a namesake in the Portland Metro for 26 years. So if you listen to 98.7 The Bull, here's my problem. I work for 98.1 here in San Francisco.
right.
And it's just a matter of time till I say 98.7. But you work for 98.7 The Bull, and you have for years and years. What brought you to the Pacific Northwest?
A former coworker that I worked with in Los Angeles. He was my PD in LA, gave me my start in radio. Mm-hmm. And I saw that he was coming here as the program director. And when he left the radio station I was at in Los Angeles, he basically had said, "This is a weird business, but I promise you we're going to work together again someday." And I was like, "Great, man, thanks." Because he gave me my start in radio. He believed in me because I was working for Dick Clark Productions, working with the actual real Dick Clark at the Academy of Country Music Awards and stuff like that. So it was great. But when he got the job here in Portland, I sent him a resume and a tape jokingly saying, I'll send it home and see what happens. Well, sure. He had not moved here yet. He was living in Utah currently at the time. Mm-hmm. Running the country station in Utah, and one of his assistants basically had said, he called one day and said, "Hey, do you have any mail yet?" And she's like, "Yeah, you have this package from Danny Dwyer in Calabasas, California." And she's like, he's like, "Open it. What is it?" And basically it was my tape and resume, and he said, "What's his phone number on the resume?" And he called me and said, "When can you be in Portland?" I said, "This weekend." He's like, "Great, I'll send you an airline ticket." I came up and I never went back home. I stayed
here. Wow.
Yeah.
And you've been here ever since. And this is where you met your wife and you just celebrated 20 years.
Yes, we did. We just went on our renewal in Maui last week. It was absolutely incredible. It was a family vacation. So we tied it all together and it was
nice.
It was very nice. Yeah. It was awesome.
So you having been in the market for, again, 26 years, 20?
Yeah. 26.
26 years.
Yep.
And working in downtown Portland, you've probably seen, since this is a food, Portland food centered podcast.
Yes.
You probably have seen the big change in the Portland food scene from, you know, 26 years ago when you arrived on the scene, and dining in Portland was probably a lot different than it is now.
Absolutely. There was nothing considered to be a food truck anywhere in downtown Portland, anywhere. You know, the bigger restaurants, Ringside Steakhouse was there. The Big Pink City Grill was there still.
Yeah.
You know, some of the other famous restaurants through town had already built their establishments and were here. But, you know, in the past 26 years, yeah, there's been a lot of come and go, but the food trucks are definitely taking over an experience. I mean, over on Third Avenue, there's I think there's like 16 food trucks in a row over there now. So, you know, they're all popping up all over the place. Even in the Pearl, there's some great restaurants that are over there. So over the years, yeah, a lot of change definitely for restaurants.
And then and then obviously the big change that happened with the pandemic, this is the one thing that really hasn't quite recovered. This has been my surprise, is that a lot of places – I actually bumped into you in downtown Portland a couple of weeks ago going out to lunch with our friend Mitch. And he was like, "I don't know where to go to lunch, because there's just so many of the regular places in downtown Portland that we used to go to for just lunch haven't even – they've closed. They've gone away. They're no more."
Yeah. Yeah. There's – I mean, I'll just use this as an example. When you know, working in records with Nashville as close as I do, a lot of people would come to town like, what's a restaurant that we can get a variety of things, you know, because not everybody wants a steak and not everybody wants the sushi or whatever. So we're like, we go to the Yard House. It was two blocks away. Well, after the pandemic came and went, it closed up too, and it's gone.
Never came back.
Yeah, there's a lot of restaurants that were on Fifth Avenue that are no longer. There's a couple that exist only at nighttime now. So yeah, there's a big, big change with all the restaurants, and the pandemic definitely hurt a lot of businesses for sure.
And I think that kind of, I mean, a lot of people did what you ended up doing as a radio broadcaster, what we all did, which is we started being able to broadcast out of our homes without people realizing that you were broadcasting out of your home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't ever say it, but there's days when I'm here and people don't know that I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see the camera, but my home studio is quite, you know, entertaining. I've got five screens. I've got a giant monitor. A drum kit, you know, all my plaques. It's
like you're
cool.
You are in a studio. It's like, it's not like you're in a studio. You are in a studio.
Yeah. I'm in my own home studio. It's awesome. I love it.
So, as somebody who I know has, you know, you mentioned 26 years in radio, just in Portland alone and a bunch down in California before that, you probably weren't always fully employed in radio. Did you ever have a job in the food industry growing up?
I did. I was a busboy and a dishwasher. I grew up in a little tiny town called Mammoth Lakes, California. Mm-hmm. And for everybody down there in San Francisco, they'll know about it because they've skied there many, many times.
Yeah.
But my brother was a bartender. There's a restaurant there called Pea Soup Anderson's, and it's famous.
Oh, yeah.
And
they just closed it down.
Did they? And it wasn't it like in Santa Maria or there somewhere near that?
There was two of them, I believe. And there was one of them just off of, I think the one that you're talking about. I'll have to look into this. I know one of them is closing down.
Okay.
It's going away because it's over 100 years old, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think the one in Mammoth closed many years ago, but that's where I started. I was a busboy, and then I worked at a great little steakhouse in Mammoth. I was a dishwasher, so I kind of worked my way up to the ranks, and it took me a little bit longer to get into being a waiter or a bartender. But while I was going to school there, they offered a radio program. And so this is how I got started in radio when I was 13 or 14 years old. They had offered up a program and said, basically, it's called Husky Night. And anybody that wants to show up at the radio station, you'll get college credits and we'll teach you how to do radio. I was like, great, I'll do it. The first week, like 20 people showed up. The second week, like 8 people showed up. And the third week, I was the only guy that showed up.
There you go.
And so they're like, Danny, you got the job. So the first record I ever played on the radio by myself as a solo DJ was Lover Boy Working for the Weekend.
Wow. And now that's the perfect record to play too.
Of course, man. Yeah. It was great. I was 15 years old in a radio station. Thought I was the king of the world, man. I wanted to be just like Dick Clark and Wolfman Jack.
That's pretty great. What industry did you find? Obviously, you spent more in one than the other. But in terms of just hardness, rough to keep it up, radio business, food industry. It's probably apples and oranges, so it's probably hard to say.
It's apples and oranges. I was also in construction for a little while. So I got out of the restaurant industry and I got into construction because my mom was an interior designer. So that was a rough job because you lived paycheck to paycheck on the job. And that was probably the most difficult job I've ever had. But it was fantastic because I learned how to do a trade, my own DIY projects and stuff. I learned how to do tile, flooring, windows, stuff like that. But by far, my favorite is obviously radio, for sure.
Right. That's where the career has happened. So,
yeah, definitely.
I think I gave you a heads up about this. So obviously, you work in Portland, but you are living across the river in Vancouver.
Correct.
You have been in the market for a long time. Are there some go-to Danny Dwyer eating locations? Are there places that are must-go-tos for you
here in Vancouver?
Either for yourself in Vancouver or Portland, for yourself or if you've got somebody coming to town visiting and they're looking for food recommendations, do you have anything that pops in mind?
I do. First of all, I'm a steak and potatoes kind of guy. So I'm going to give a shout out to Ringside because my wife and I have had many dinners there before for our anniversary.
Nice.
And so it's fantastic. Love the steaks that are over there. There's a great restaurant here in Vancouver. It's called Crave. It's kind of like this little tiny hole in the wall. It's right off of Fourth Plain Boulevard, but they have amazing food and great drinks.
And what kind of food is it? Is it like Americana?
It's American food. I mean, they do great, big Caesar salads. Blue cheese burgers.
Okay.
It's great. They got a great prime rib dip, fish and chips. It's fantastic. Oh, nice. But it's called Crave. And then there's another one. The Vancouver waterfront has really changed completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. So there's a couple of restaurants over there. There's another steakhouse over there that I really, really like enjoying going to. There's also a place called Wildfin if you like fish. It's really good. And Twigs is over there. So it's a whole area that's really, really changing and it's great. But those are some of our favorite stops for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that obviously you're more inclined to go to the places that are closer to your house than.
Yeah.
Especially for evening dining. Cause again, when you're looking for like lunch takeout, you go for the easy places. It's the nicer dining that tends to be closer to the home.
A lot of times the record reps that come to town, they just want to come do a visit with us and hang out and get the chance to see us and talk and play music for us and stuff. So a lot of times when they're coming after COVID, downtown's still a little, the hotels and stuff are great, but some of the areas they don't like. So like, just meet me at the waterfront. We'll just have lunch. And so they stay near the airport Yeah. And we'll meet at the waterfront, and everyone that I've taken there is like, oh my God, this is amazing. So great. And the views along the river are beautiful. So it's cool.
And my understanding is over on the Vancouver side, they're going to continue the expansion of the waterfront stuff. Yes. The other direction. I know there's the whole bridge talk again on the interstate bridge, but that whole area probably in 10, 15 years won't even look like it does now.
Oh no, it'll completely change. They're building a couple. There's a good run. There's a Maryhill Winery that's above.
That's right.
Twigs. Yeah. And then they've kind of got like an open door outdoor area that they're going to try to do like a almost like a farmer's garden area type of a deal. Then in some apartments, and then they're going to do like an outside amphitheater area, and then more restaurants down that way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to. All right.
Yeah.
Here's how we're going to conclude our conversation.
Okay.
When that In-N-Out opens up nearest to you, what's your order going to be when you walk in? What's the Danny Dwyer order? Cause you go secret menu, don't you?
I do go secret menu. Yeah. A lot of times for my wife, I forget what she calls it. It's called the naked 4x4. It's just basically a four bun or four burgers and a lettuce wrap. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'll probably end up doing, just for nostalgia, I'll probably do the double double or a 3x3 with animal style fries with grilled onions on top.
Okay. But you don't do the animal style on the burgers themselves.
I have a couple times, but they get really messy. That's, when you're driving, it's not very good.
You can't drive and eat an animal style burger.
You cannot. Yeah. Well, you can, but just be prepared to do laundry when you get home. Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly right.
Or if you get pulled over, the officer's like, sir, what's all over your beard?
He should know. You're in the vicinity of In-N-Out. He'll know.
Yeah, exactly. There should be a 30-mile radius where you don't get in trouble for eating and driving.
There you go. Just order an extra one for the police officer. And yeah. It'll be good. All right, Danny. I appreciate you kind of breaking it down and giving it some perspective.
Yeah, buddy. Always happy to help you out. It's great to see your face. I miss you, man.
Miss you too.
Right at the Fork is hosted and produced by Chris Angeles and Court Johnson. Connect with us on Twitter and Instagram at foodpodcastpdx or on Facebook at Right at the Fork or online at rightatthefork.com.